Welcome back. I am joined on the phone now by Rachel Aggs from Sacred Paws. Their album Strike a Match is our album of the week and came out on the 27th of January of this year on Rock Action. It is a feast of beautiful melodies and an urgent anxiety that pervades the record, which I'm anxious to ask you about, Rachel. But first of all, congrats on the album. It's brilliant. And thank you so much for talking to us.
Cool. Yeah, thanks for having me.
I think the first thing I wanted to mention is that you can really get the sense of friendship, I think, that you have in this band, and indeed is on the record. And I know that you're split between London and Glasgow, which seems to crop up a lot in past interviews that you've had. I know that's presumably a bit of a challenge, but the thing that I get when I listen to the album is a kind of feeling of overhearing friends, and indeed in the music video for Every Day, you're turning towards one another and you're facing one another. Is it very much the project, the kind of a product of a friendship rather than a kind of more sort of driven musical project?
Yeah, definitely. I think that music is an excellent way to like spend time with your friends and to kind of communicate on this other level. And it can be quite like cathartic, you know, when you haven't seen each other for like a couple of weeks to get together and play music. It's just like a really joyous thing. And it was really like, it was amazing meeting Ailey because I loved the way she played drums, but we also got on really well. So it was kind of a no-brainer that we wanted to do as much music together as possible. And I was totally up for, you know, traveling pretty far to do that because it's like, it's not that easy to find people that you get on with and that you make good music with. So it's definitely, that's the root of this project. And we're not like super like career driven individuals anyway, so I don't think it would ever take any other form than this. It's always meant to be about having fun together.
So that all sounds really good and fun, right? But when I listen to the album, and I think you'd probably acknowledge this yourself, there's a pervasive anxiety in it. If you look at a song like Wet Graffiti, lyrics like do you want to run away, an empty body, my empty body is full of worry. I mean, other than a comment on the inextricable link between the gut and anxiety, that is indicative of the anxiety that is kind of there throughout the record. Where does this come from, if I can ask that?
Well, I think every song comes from a place of like maybe a little bit of frustration or longing or sadness, but the process of writing the song is about overcoming that, or at least if not overcoming it, then expressing it and kind of like cathartically just like dancing it out. Like, just, it's quite, I hope we don't write like stressful music. It's supposed to be fun, but it definitely comes from a place of frustration, or you know, like all songs really come from some sort of like need or something.
Yeah, a conflict.
You can't a conflict just be... or a need. Yeah.
Yeah, but you say it's not. I mean, it isn't a stressful album. I mean, and that's the thing. I think in a kind of Bell and Sebastian kind of way, you get away with being very upbeat and very melancholic at the same time, because you have both at the same time. So you can have of very sweet melody, but also very kind of tragic words or anxious, urgent words, but because it's happening at the same time, it works beautifully. And I think that's Glaswegian counterparts there.
I think similar. It's like if you had a, it would just be too nice, right? Otherwise, it would just be really annoying.
Yeah, people should be like, okay, you're doing great. Well, that's good to hear. Yeah, no, it brings something. The melancholia via. I mean, this is more of a melodic sound, I think, for you than you've had before with Trash Kit or Shopping. I think to me it seems more melodic. Is this the kind of music that that is more you, perhaps?
I don't know. Possibly. I don't really know. Like, I think it's definitely more to the pop music side of things, and I love pop music. It's like, I don't want to say guilty pleasure because I'm not guilty, but it's like, you know, the pop music for me is the music that you turn to when you're like maybe having a bad time, or like, you know, you feel a little bit like sad or lonely or something. Like sometimes you want to turn to like something which is like melodic and something which is like people singing about their real lives, and maybe isn't like, I suppose the stuff I do with shopping is kind of more, everything is more pointed, like maybe if not politically, like just, you know, there's like more of a, it's like tongue in cheek, you know, we're having a laugh usually. But with Sacred Pause, it's very honest and earnest, and you can't really like hide from it.
Sure, yeah, there's a youthfulness to it. But I mean, you're just mentioning there the kind of political intent with shopping, and you're speaking about consumerism and stuff.
Yeah.
Is that something that finds its way onto this new record? I mean, the other side of it, of course, is that it is an indie record, really, and that traditionally is a, well, I mean, it's a predominantly white, heteronormative male environment. Are you aware of an importance on this scene? Does this drive you? And does that have a kind of, does that bring a kind of political, social edge to it?
I mean, I would never want to say our music is apolitical, because I think that's kind of like, you know, sad, irresponsible to make music like that. And I wouldn't, but I think also just as a queer woman of colour, like everything I do is political, you know, it's like, it's about visibility, and it's about inspiring other women of colour to want to play the guitar, to express themselves, and you know, and also like to say we don't just make political art or music, we have like fully fledged emotional inner lives, and this is just as important to voice that, you know, that can be really powerful.
Yeah, the fact that you can voice it is, I guess, political. And in that vein, you sort of, I suppose, letting you know, young girls of color who are queer, or you know, basically anyone who isn't very much already, you know, represented in this more, I don't know if we call it a traditional indie scene, kind of letting them know that they have the permission to do that is, I mean, you started off as a, well, this kind of idea that you can do anything. You started off as a folk musician, is that right, on the violin?
And that's true. I've been playing the fiddle since I was like five or something with my family. So I did start playing music really young, and I think I'm really lucky for that reason. Like I kind of, it's a bit like learning a language or something. You sort of have if you have the bare bones of musicality in your system, you know, you're good to go. You can pick up a guitar and learn really easily. But I think a lot of young girls are discouraged from playing music at all, especially the guitar. But I think, you know, that can be a real struggle. So I do, like, I've been doing recently some guitar workshops, trying to encourage women and people of color to pick up the guitar, even if you've never played an instrument, and just like go for it, make a mess.
Yeah, that's great. That's awesome. I mean, that's obviously very. That is important to kind of to take music away, I suppose, from its kind of, what the, you know, the essence of what it is, i.e. just just music. I mean, you meet bands along the way who, as you mentioned, you know, they do say, you know, I'm not political, or I'm not trying to make a comment on feminism, even though we're all girls or whatever.
Right.
And I think what you guys do is very important in that way, and also the way that you're functioning as essentially a classic indie band. I mean, people talk about African rhythms in there as well, and there is a kind of crispness to it that is it kind of supersedes what you've done in the past. And there's also the kind of the brevity of the songs. Yeah, I think only Getting Old exceeds the 4-minute mark. Where do you kind of place yourselves? You're obviously doing more stuff with your music than most would, kind of on a social plane. But where do you kind of identify in a kind of London or Glasgow music scene at the moment, or are you just all over the place?
Well, yeah, I mean, I when I first moved to London was when I first started Trash Kit, and I just first started playing guitar in bands. So I'll always feel like London is musically kind of like my home, and that scene was really kind of encouraging and nurturing. Like we were on, we still are on Upset the Rhythm Records, and they used to put on incredible shows that I could go to for free. And that was just like, I don't know, for that reason, I'd say London is always going to be like my musical base. But I think this, I identify as like a DIY punk musician, and that community is really like international and kind of sprawling, and people are constantly moving around. London is becoming more and more difficult to survive in as a musician or an artist or just a young person. So a lot of people are moving to Glasgow, and I love it there as well. And similarly, with Sacred Pause, it's like people have just been incredibly supportive in Glasgow. It's like, yeah, it's amazing. I don't even live there, but I do feel like an honorary Glaswegian.
Yeah, yeah. And I would have thought that that might be a more kind of youthful, kind of upward trajectory place to be writing music. I don't know, and definitely easier
to
survive in.
For sure, yeah.
The match has been struck then for you guys. This is your debut full-length album. Is this a project that's going to be burning brightly for a while?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I hope so.
What does the future look like?
Well, we have like quite a few new songs on the go, so we'll be recording fairly soon. I mean, we don't want to rush anything, because with this album, we took ages and we're really happy with it. So I don't think we want to change that formula. Like, we want to make sure that we're happy with how stuff sounds. But and then just touring. We're touring with Mogwai in October. Yeah, that should be really exciting. And then just doing lots of our own shows, some festivals and stuff over the summer. Yeah. Etc.
Sounds good. Well, I'm looking forward to playing the album for the rest of the week and beyond. It really is a triumph. Cool. It's great. It's very
great.
It's a nice listen, and also there's that slightly uneasy edge to it as well that I think will make it will stand up to the test of time, I reckon, in my humble opinion. So thanks very much for making it, and thanks very much for talking to us.
Thanks. Bye.
You're listening to English for Everyone. Tweet us and follow us on Instagram at EU Radio English, and find us on Facebook, EU Radio Nantes English. 101.3 FM.